Today, as Duncan said, we're beginning a new series looking at the I Am sayings of Jesus. And tonight we're focusing on the first one of those, which is, I am the bread of life. And although it's the first of the I Am sayings, there are actually very many parallels with Jesus' meeting with the Samaritan woman in chapter 4, where she talks about wanting the water. Give me this water so I won't have to keep coming back to the well. And there are very many parallels in there. And in both accounts, the crowd who talked with Jesus and the Samaritan woman somewhat seem to miss the point, because both are fixated on the physical rather than the spiritual. And I think we need to remember to put this into context, because at the beginning of the chapter, Jesus had just fed the 5,000 with the loaves and fishes. Although it was 5,000, it was probably a lot more than that, because it just recounts 5,000 men rather than the women and children. And then he'd withdrawn by himself, because the crowd wanted to force him to become king. And his disciples had got into the only boat that there was and gone over the water to Capernaum. So he's left on that side. The crowd disperse, and he's left there. And later on, he walks out to them on the water. And in the morning, they realize he's not there. But they want to find him. They want to find Jesus. And so they wait until some boats arrive from Tiberias and land near that place. And then they get in the boat and go over, because they realize he's not there. And the first question they ask him is, Rabbi, when did you get here? They knew there'd only been one boat. They knew the disciples had got into it, and Jesus had not been with them. And they'd had to wait to be able to make the crossing. But notice Jesus doesn't answer their question. He doesn't tell them how he got here. He goes to the heart of the matter. You're looking for me because you were fed. Because you had the loaves and you had your fill. Their minds are fixated on the physical. He knows that they've only come to seek him out because of the bread that they ate. And bread actually was really important. It was the main staple food, and it still is in many cultures today. Even if that's not true here, we can kind of manage without bread for a week when we've forgotten to go to the supermarket. But it's not the same. And bread's something that's eaten all over the world. You've only got to go to the supermarket and look at the shelves to see what a variety there is. I mean, we have enough of our own, don't we? I can remember moving from the north and coming down here and wanting bread buns. Bread buns don't exist down here. You call them soft baps. We call them bread buns. And we have such a variety here. But think about it. There's white, brown, wholemeal, rye bread, sunflower. And then you've got things from other countries like bagels, naan, chapatis, tortillas, matzo, baguettes, ciabattas, etc. A huge variety. So bread's something that's eaten all over the world. But in Jesus' day, it was actually the main source of food. And if you had bread, you could survive. And without it, in a time when food had to be carefully planned and rationed, as storage was hard, then you could starve. And we don't really know what that kind of hunger is in the privileged life we lead. So although bread might not be prominent today in our diet as it once was, we still use many phrases, don't we, associated with bread in our everyday language. We use words like bread and dough to talk about money. We say we've got to go out to work to put bread on the table. We talk about being the main wage earner, being the breadwinner. So bread is actually a byword for something that's essential to us. So it's not really surprising that the crowd had a little bit of a fixation on the bread that Jesus had provided them with the day before. If that could be done all the time, then they weren't going to starve. It'd be fantastic. But that fixation actually led them to be blinded to the true bread of Jesus, the bread which fills our hearts rather than our stomachs. And the crowds fixated on that miracle that he performed with the loaves and the fishes. They wanted more of it, and so that's why they've come to seek him. And he says, I tell you the truth, you're looking for me, not because you saw the miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him the Father has placed his seal of approval. The answer's probably not the one they were expecting. Just talk about keeping something else. When they asked him in verse 28, what must we do to do the works that God requires? They're not thinking along the lines. They haven't listened to what happened before. Jesus answers them very simply. It's not the answer they were expecting. He says, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. A simple answer. Believe in Jesus. Not something complicated, not something difficult. And we can sometimes be like that. We don't take the simple as being the answer. It's got to be more complicated than that. Like when I mark work, that can't be the right maths answer because it was, well, yes, it is. It is the right answer. The work of God that God requires is not something that we do, but something that we believe. We're simply to believe in the saving work of Jesus Christ and all that he is in order to have eternal life. Only then will our lives be changed and shaped by God to dwell with him for eternity. It seems, though, that this profound, simple truth was lost on the crowd. They kind of ignore it and ask for proof. What miraculous sign, then, will you give that we may see it and believe in you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. It seems strange to me that only yesterday they'd witnessed the miraculous sign of the feeding of the 5,000 men. I don't quite know why they wanted a further miraculous sign. To me, that seems a miraculous sign enough. But maybe they thought that Jesus had only done this once, and he'd only fed a large but limited number of people. But in their mind, Moses had done something far more. He'd fed a whole nation every day for 40 years. I don't know. Who knows why they asked for a further sign. But Jesus actually replies by pointing out the error of their thinking and tries to draw them back to the true bread that he's talking about. He says, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. It wasn't Moses who sent the bread from heaven. It's God who gives the true bread from heaven. And God continues to do that today. I think it's interesting that it's in the present tense. It is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. And he continues to do that today. Jesus is the true bread from heaven given to each one of us. But somehow they still don't get the point, do they? Oh, from now on, give us this bread. Yes, seems like the right answer, but no, they're still thinking about bread that will feed their stomachs, not bread that will feed their hearts. And just like the woman at the well who asked for the water of life so that she would not have to come every day to draw water, so these people want physical bread so that they will no longer be hungry. And then he declares, I can almost see, if it was me, feeling, oh, you really haven't got it. Here you go. Try this one. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. Physical food and drink will satisfy hunger and thirst for a time. And then we need to eat and drink again. And if we regularly keep on eating and drinking, then we don't go hungry or thirsty. And if we eat and drink the right things in the right quantities, then we're more likely to remain healthy. If we eat and drink the wrong things in the wrong quantities, then we're more likely to become unhealthy and harm our bodies. And so it is with spiritual food. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. So if we come to him, the living bread, and receive him, we'll no longer be spiritually hungry or thirsty. And this is something that we need to do daily. It's no good having physical food on the table and not eating it. Doesn't do any good. And in the same way, it's no good just having our Bible and never reading it. It's not going to sustain us. In the Lord's Prayer we say, give us today our daily bread, what we need for each day to sustain us. And in the same way, we need to come daily to God in prayer and Bible reading and study in order for him to sustain us and enable us to grow. Food and drink does no good if it's kept in the fridge, the freezer, the cupboard, etc. Neither does it do us any good just looking at it when it's ready to be eaten. In order to benefit, we need to eat it. And in the same way, our Bible sitting on the shelf does no good. It needs to be read and understood with the help of the Holy Spirit in order to nourish our lives. And unless we consume Jesus, the living bread, then we'll not grow. And we'll starve to death. So we need to invite him in to walk with us every day so that we feed on him and grow rather than consuming the junk food that the world has to offer. And when we do invite Christ to be our living bread and daily spend time feeding on his word, we need to remember not to be fixated on our own agenda so that we miss what he's saying to us. The crowd were fixated on that physical bread. And yes, it was important to them. Without it, they would starve. And sometimes we can be like that. We're fixated on one thing. And so there's therefore a danger that we'll miss what God's saying to us. Sometimes something as seemingly important to us as the physical bread was for the crowd, if our minds are focused on that, then we can miss the more important message that God is wanting to tell us, just as the people in the crowd did. There was a much more important message that they needed to hear. So let us come to God, let us come to Jesus, the living bread, and actively partake in the nourishment that he gives us. Let us pray.